around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is abounding in your heart as never before. There are a lot of things that are taking place that are without a doubt evil in the earth. There's a lot of talk about Donald Trump retaking the White House this coming November. There is a lot of rumor, a lot of innuendo, how that the deep state will seek to circumvent this, and that if Donald Trump is elected, there are those who are planning to derail his presidency. There's chatter, there's deep state talk, deep-seated talk, that they will seek through whatever means to block Donald Trump from exercising power on day one when he returns to the Oval Office. There are those on the inside that will seek to, what's the word am I looking for? They will seek to derail everything that he attempts to do because of the deep state. There's so much cronyism in our government. Listen, when I tell you our government is corrupt, evil, full of liars, you and I have no, we have no way to measure how deeply this is rooted and seated within the United States of America. We just don't know how evil these people are and what they will do to retain power. They say there is a plan, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist in this mindset, but I have enough sense to know how evil men plot, just like Satan plots to overthrow, just like Ahithophel gave Absalom evil advice in taking David's 10 concubines, putting them on the roof of the palace, and having sexual relationship with all of them to defile them in the face of David, in the face of the nation. This was a payback because Ahithophel was the granddad of Bathsheba. And so he wanted to get revenge. He wanted to get even. So he gave Absalom, David's son, evil, corrupt advice to brutally demean his own dad by sleeping with these concubines under tents on top of the palace. And all Israel knew what was going on. They didn't actually see the physical act, but they knew what was taking place to humiliate the king. And of course, Ahithophel understood what he had done. The Bible is plain and clear. He went home, got his house in order, and he hanged himself. There's chatter, there's talk. A plan for the military to no longer observe the chain of command and to take the civilian part of the military. That's why you have a Secretary of Defense. It's supposed to be a civilian, not a military man. This is the chain of command to keep there from being a coup, that the military on its own volition rises up and takes over. But if they do this, this is treasonous. It is treason. Now, all in the military take an oath to defend this nation from whatever, foreign or within. So you can see, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and discern, how tenuous things are. I've said for years, I don't know which comes first, Civil War or World War III. But I assure you, they will come. I cannot say in what order. They could be one right after the other. I don't know. I can't say. But I know we're getting and reaching a threshold. The pot is seething. It has become a seething pot. And all of this is working against you and I. This is why I cannot overly stress the need for prayer in this hour. I'll be 69 years old tomorrow. I am certainly in the twilight of my life. I am burdened. I am grieved for this nation. And if you ask the question, why are we here? People say, well, why don't we have good people running for political office? We've become a godless nation. Our nation is run by crooks and thugs and dishonest people. I loathe the statement that Nikki Haley made, chaos follows Trump everywhere he goes. And I thought, that is so stupid. It's not Trump creating the chaos. It's those who want to destroy him creating the chaos. Everything they said, two Democratic impeachments, the January 6th committee, you had one guy from Ohio and Liz Cheney, Republicans, who went over to the Democratic camp. Now there's video being released in the last few weeks, proves Capitol Hill officers lied on the stand. There is such evil. And this is why Jesus said, if a kingdom be divided, it will not stand. This nation cannot stand. So much criminality. You got the federal government, the Biden Department of Justice, suing the state of Texas for doing the right thing, saying that the state of Texas is impeding the work of the Border Patrol. What a lie. We are being ruined. We are being destroyed because of our godlessness. Our godlessness is bringing all of this upon us. And you can say, well, it's this leader, it's that leader, it's this or it's that. All of this is happening because of sin and evil and wickedness. It's all because of sin. You can't blame it on anything else. We are a very, very deliberate, willful, disobedient people when it comes to the things of God. Listen to Jeremiah 32, verse 23. And they came in and possessed it, talking about the promised land that God promised them. See, God keeps his promises. God keeps his word. He gave them the land. But here's what he said. But they obeyed not thy voice. This is Jeremiah the prophet speaking. They possessed the land, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. As I said yesterday, disobedience is bringing all of this calamity upon this nation. My, had Israel obeyed God, none of the things that happened to them would have happened. If America would turn back to God, all of this could be circumvented and nullified. This is why repentance is so needful. This is why repentance is so powerful. Repentance changes the heart of God toward us. What he has said he would do, he will not do because of repentance. He will do what he said he would do because of a lack of repentance. Jeremiah 32:33, they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instructions. They won't receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, and defile it. And they build the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Listen to this. Neither came it into my mind that they should do the abomination to cause Judah to sin. The things that Israel was doing didn't even come into the mind of God. Now you explain that to me. All you well-read, well-learned Bible students, God says, neither came it into my mind. The things that Israel was doing, God said, it didn't even come into my mind. We're at a very tenuous place. You people out there that don't like my deliverance, my disposition, and my statements, like the word uncertainty, what immaturity, what frivolous, sniveling, little petty Christians who fall out with somebody over a word, uncertainty. That is pathetic. That is somebody that is so weak, so anemic, they're not going to make it when the hard times come. Think of that. Wrote me a scathing page or two email because I used the word uncertainty. My. You know, before you write your letters and you write your emails, ask God to endorse it. Whatever happens, slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. Those are novices and immature children. Oh, you may be 70 years old, but you're a child in your mind. This is sad. This is sad, but this is where we are. This is people that think they are spiritual giants in the body of Christ. They are pillars Peter, James, and John saw the grace of God upon their lives, and they saw they were pillars in the house of God, and they gave them the right hand of fellowship. You reckon that's a pillar in the house of God? That is so trivial. That's like 2, 3, or 4 year olds fighting over a bat, a ball, a glove. Childish. You know, Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some people are still childish because they've never matured in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I told a man one time, he said, I've been a Christian for 32 years. I said, you've had a one-time experience 30 times over. You're still a first-grade Christian, pal. You just keep having the same first grade experience over and over and over. You're supposed to grow in grace and in knowledge. You know, there was a time I had a lot of foolish thoughts. Now I have less foolish thoughts, and so did you. But wisdom begins to kick in. Understanding begins to kick in. Maturity begins to be made manifest. There were times I thought a 2x4 would do the job. Now I realize that was carnal. That was fleshly. Instead of a 2x4, let's do a 1x2. I'm just kidding. Grow and mature in Christ. That's what Peter admonished the church. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, people are not growing. And sadly, some of the stuff they're growing in is irrelevant, insignificant, and immaterial. It's not really doing them any good. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in him, not in yourself. Grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please grow in the Lord. I want to quickly look back today. We're going to try to conclude this. Revelation 21, verse 2. And Psalms 37, verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forevermore. Remember, one of your rewards, one of my rewards is inheriting the earth. Matthew 5, 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That is your inheritance, part of it. In the closing verses of Daniel chapter 12, Daniel is promised a lot or a portion, I believe that deals specifically with land, to his tribe, and he will receive his portion. But I want to look back at Revelation 21, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So this New Jerusalem is going to come down as a bride adorned for her husband. Then Revelation 21, 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. That's the wrath of God. The great tribulation is not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not in the seals. The wrath of God is not in the trumpets. The wrath of God is in the bowls or the vials. Revelation 15:1, Revelation 16:1, in them is filled up the wrath of God. So one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, as I said, Mount Zion in the heavenlies, and showed me that great city, meaning New Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The church is not feminine. The church is masculine, according to the Word of God. That's not my ideology. That's not my thoughts. That's not my interpretation. That is what the Scriptures have to say. The information is in the book. I remember in the third grade, I was a lazy reader in elementary school. And I didn't want to read the chapter because, you know, you read the chapter and then you answer the questions at the end of the chapter. There were many times, for instance, I would read the chapter and it would ask you a question, what city was this found in? And I would write, and the answer, I don't know. I don't know. And I didn't know because I didn't read. You know, and my teacher would get mad at me. That's not an answer. I don't know. Had you read the chapter, the information was there. Whether it's science, physical science, biology, math, literature, whatever. If you read the chapter, the answers are in the chapter because that's where they get the questions from. But I'd write, I don't know. I'm being honest. I didn't know because I didn't read. So that's the cynicism of an 8-year-old or whatever. But the truth is found in the Scriptures. The truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible teaches me clearly, plainly, expressly, the church is not feminine. The church is masculine according to the Scriptures. What does the Bible say about the masculinity of the church? Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. If Christ is the head of the church, what would his body be? Masculine. And hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the body of Christ, not a woman, not a bride. Colossians 1, 17 and 18. And he is before all things, Christ. And by him, Christ, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ is supreme and superior to all and everything. He is before all things, Paul said. Before there was ever sun, moon, stars, creation, Jesus was. By him all things consist. It is God that holds everything together. Everything is knitted together. And it's held together by the sovereignty of God. Paul said that Christ is the head over all things to the church. Your head is the most valuable part of your body. Your mind has within it all of the involuntary actions that your body works, creates throughout the day. Wouldn't it be terrible if you had to remind yourself to breathe? Just think about that one aspect of the human body. You don't have to tell yourself to breathe. That is an involuntary action that God has put in the brain. And your body knows to breathe. Your heart knows to beat. Now, you want to go get a cheeseburger, you say in your mind, I'm going to go get me a sandwich. So you think about that, and then you go do that. That effort was expended on your part because you thought that thought, said, that's what I want to do. While we're working throughout the day, our kidneys are filtering our blood system. And slowly by slowly, fluid is being deposited into your bladder. This is all happening 24/7, and you're not thinking about it. You're not even conscious. You're not even aware of it, but it's all happening. Every function in the church is because Christ is the head of the body. You don't say to yourself, now somebody's about to speak, now turn on your auditory system to hear. I look at the eyes. They're set back in sockets, and there's a lot of bone around the eye to protect the eye from limbs, things falling off of a kitchen cabinet hitting you in the eye. It protects that. The eyelid opens and closes. It keeps the eyeball moist. And then when you wake up in the morning, there's this little bit of grit in the corner of your eye. The cycle through the night has cleansed the eyeball, the lens itself. All of this stuff happens because this is already in your brain. It's there. It's taking place. You're not aware of it. You know, you go to sleep, you rest well at night, everything slows down in the body. The heart gets an opportunity to rest. It is amazing. This is why the church are to be so magnificent, because Christ is the head of the church. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. Having the mind of God. Having the mind of God causes your life to be oiled, lubricated, making your life fluid, more easily operated, less strife, less contention, less impediments, less hindrances. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, there are blessings, profound walking in the Spirit. But there's also revelation and insight to adversity. You ever had that unction, that feeling? There's something about to happen. You knew it. See, when you know that, then you go and pray against that God is putting in your heart. He's the head. You're part of the body. You tell yourself mentally sometimes, you need to do this. You need to get that behind you. You need to get that done, completed, out of the way. Boy, some people are profuse procrastinators. They can put off any and everything. That does not bode well when you're looking for success. You know, you got to strike while the iron is hot. You let the iron get cold, you got to heat it up again and go through the process. The blacksmith, I mean, he's in there. He's got the forge. He's heating everything up. He's getting the metal malleable where he can hit it, strike it, and make it what he wants it to be. Let it get cold. It won't do that. The more you're in the Holy Ghost, the more you're in the Spirit of God, the more God can work in your life more fluidly, more easily. But you're crusty. The ground has become fallow, hard in your life. Break up the fallow ground. You let soil go year after year after year after year and never being disc or tilled. It is hard to get it started. Why? It is so hard. When you walk and live in the Spirit of the Lord, when He's the head, the Lord of your life, doesn't exempt you from troubles, doesn't exempt you from hardship, doesn't exempt you from tribulation, but it makes your life run a whole lot more smoother. Things are more feasible. You have pragmatism. You look at things. You study things. You ruminate. You consider the pros. You consider the cons. You say, you know, I shouldn't do that. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally unto all men. I prayed that this morning. I said, God, the Apostle James said, you give liberally wisdom to all men who ask for it. You give it. You don't earn it. You give it. God, give me wisdom. Solomon said, with all your wisdom, get understanding. Isn't it beautiful when you're grappling with something and then all of a sudden you get the understanding. You understand the mechanism. You understand how it works. You just come to this comprehension. Hey, I get it. I get it. I understand it. There's joy. There is strength. There's encouragement of getting the understanding. So, hey, I got this. I got this. See, God will help you to get what he wants you to have if you pursue him, if you seek him. This is why we need Christ. This is why Christ is the head of the church and not men. Men will mess things up in a minute. You know, I believe when we stand before God, some of us will be ashamed and will admit, I was stupid. I thought this, I believe this, et cetera, et cetera. Now that I'm in his presence, I see perfect eyesight, and what a buffoon. I believe that. There'll be people realize, you know what? I was so wrong. This is why humility is such an important factor in Christian lives. Humility. You know, if you're wrong, you're wrong. I've been wrong about things. That's why every church should have a church and pastor's council. If you are ministering and you don't have a church and pastor's council, you're miserably, terribly failing your church. Sir, you don't know it all. You don't have all the answers. You need help. There is safety in the multitude of counsel. Don't think you're so smart because you happen to be the pastor or the preacher that you know it all. No, you don't. You have blind spots. I have blind spots. I have trouble seeing things. Just like in a car, you have trouble seeing things at times in your own life. And God gives us godly, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled men to help us navigate the perils, the danger, the toils of this life. Why do you think Peter said to the church at Acts, get you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost to administrate the affairs of the church and leave yourself to prayer and the Word of God? I loved having a church and pastor's council around me. I loved the fellowship. I loved the input. And I would tell them, I don't want you on this council if you're a yes man. You see I'm wrong, say, hey, Pastor, I think you're wrong about that. I don't think you're seeing this correctly. And an honest, humble man says, you know, you're right. I didn't see that. I didn't foresee that. Let me say this to every pastor that might be listening, just in case there's a few. There are people in your church that know stuff you don't know anything about. And they could help you to ameliorate, make things better, make things more prosperous, make things more peaceful, but you don't want them because you are afraid you might lose control. Well, for you to think you're in control, you're deceived. Who owns the church? Who is the head of the church? Who is the head of the body of the church? Jesus. You're just a steward. We're all just stewards. All of us are just mere stewards of whatever gift and talent God has given us. And let me say this. When you're dead and you're gone, There'll be somebody there pastoring that church after your demise. I've pastored two churches. I've been gone from the first one 24 years. The second one, I've been gone 12 years. You know what? Somebody's there pastoring those churches. Yes, God blessed me and put people around me to help me build two churches. They were never mine. I was just a steward over the time I was there. And I value other men's input because there are people that know things I do not know. There are people that can help you in life to make your life more simplistic, less stressful, more pragmatic, more prudent, more fluid, if you'll look to them. This is why Peter said, you get men full of the Holy Ghost and faith to administrate the affairs of the church. You leave us, the men of God, the apostles, to prayer and the Holy Scriptures. I enjoyed having businessmen around me. You feed off of other people. You know, just like me, people listen to me teach and preach, and they'll say, man, I got so much out of that, but you stoked my mind, and I looked at my situation from another perspective, from something you said, and it helped me. It's called input. Input. Evaluate. Get others to help you evaluate. This is why we are many members in the church, in the body. But Christ is the head of all of it. You know, you might be a thumb. You might be a fingernail. You might be a toenail. You might be the lobe on the ear. Or a hair and an eyelash. We all have a role to play. But insecure people, well, I'm preaching now. Insecure people don't want people around them because that makes them more insecure because they feel intimidated. Well, if you're intimidated, you're living a life of the flesh. That's your flesh. That is your flesh. That is your carnality. When you let people or things intimidate you, remember, 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I've met a lot of people in my life, senators, presidents. Oliver North had a lot of fellowship with Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North in the 80s and 90s. You can learn from men. God gifts men. When I was evangelizing, and I would be at a church 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks in revival, and here I'm in my early 20s, and these guys are in their 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, I listened to everything they said. I deposited their words in my heart, in my spirit. I wanted to remember things, because I knew one day I'd be pastoring. There's no greater training than on-the-job training. And when you're around men that have wisdom, gleaned from them. Don't be afraid to ask a man a question. I can tell you so much about construction because I chose to understand construction because I was building churches. I know how many yards of concrete it takes in a building. It takes 7 residential brick per square foot. So you measure the length of the wall and the height of the wall, and you come up with a number. Let's just say it's 1,200. 7 brick per square foot, you multiply 7 times 1,200. You need 8,400 brick to take care of that wall. That way you know when you find out the cost of the brick and what the brick mason charges to lay the brick, you know what it's going to cost to do that job. Carpet, sheetrock. They finished sheetrock so many cents a foot on the board. There's a method to everything. And when you choose to avail yourself to these truths, you're sharper. You're more aware. You can make better decisions. You know why? You know the formula. You're not sitting there saying, well, I wonder what it would cost to do that. Well, you get the numbers and you get the right math, the right algorithm, and you divide it or multiply it or whatever it is, and you say, now I know. And having built as much as I have through the years, and I would get me a bottom number. Let's say it's $320,000. I sat down there, miscellaneous, 10%. Add another $32,000 for things you don't foresee. That's just to be on the safe side. And if you save that, praise God. If you don't, you were prepared for it. Jesus said, you count the cost before you start building. If you think you're going to have to go to war and you can't win, you don't have the military might, he said, you send an ambassador and you try to negotiate peace. This is common sense stuff, people. Boy, we don't have any common sense anymore, I'll tell you that. I've never seen so many blooming idiots in the world today. People don't understand how things work. They don't understand how things are run. Why do you think we are $34 trillion in deficit? Somebody doesn't understand money and numbers. But because Christ is the head of the church, if we will allow Christ to do what he wills to do, we would all be better if we let him be the Lord of our lives. But sadly, pride, rebellion, you know, pride is a terrible thing. It keeps us from knowing a lot of things because we're too proud to ask that question. I want to know. And then when I know that, I deposit that in my repertoire, that I can draw on that somewhere down the road. The scriptures, the word of God has been such a blessing to me through my life. The word of God has saved me so much heartache, so much pain, so much sorrow, so much suffering, because I knew the scriptures. I knew the value of this particular scripture. Solomon said, safety is of the Lord. Have you ever seen that riding down the road on the interstate on a truck somewhere? Safety is of the Lord. What pragmatism? What wisdom? You know, a foolish man will, you know, jack up a car and not put a jack stand under it. Then the jack collapses and falls on him and kills him. When he could have took a $25 jack stand and put it under the car, and if the jack failed, guess what? The jack stand held up the car. Safety is of the Lord. Common sense. I got off on wisdom a while ago. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally unto all men. You ever noticed how true men of God, I'm talking about men that walk with God, men like David Wilkerson, men of that stature, that caliber. You get around them, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn something. There were men I was around, had the opportunity to bring into my church and minister to my church. I learned from those men, not just what they said in the pulpit, but driving from the church to home. And we have private conversation while they're at my house. We talked about things. This is where wisdom comes in. A man that's built a half a dozen churches can help you if you're considering building a church, or any building for that matter, because he has understanding. I used to laugh when I was in the Church of God when they would have building committees, and they would submit whatever they were doing to the state office, and you got a guy at the state office who doesn't know one thing about construction about to make a decision on a loan for a church. That's not the guy you want making the decision. You want the guy that knows about construction. He knows the difference between a 1x12 pitch and a 4x12 pitch. He knows what the difference is there. Guy says, what's a 4x12 pitch? Say what? Now, you don't want that guy on the building committee. You want a guy that has knowledge of construction. See? All of our lives could be so much more greatly enhanced if we simply were in the scriptures more often. You've heard me say this. Only the Lord knows why I'm saying the things I'm saying today. Maybe you're listening and you need to hear some honest to God, pragmatic advice and wisdom. You know, there's a lot to say about having your house in order. There's a lot to say about having a church in order. Nobody wants a church or wants to attend a church where there's nothing but disorder. There needs to be fluid construction. There needs to be fluid information. There needs to be fluid comprehension. You know, you don't make a decision on half of the facts. You make a decision when you have collected and aggregated all the information you can get. Because I promise you, no matter how greatly you prepare and you think you understand everything, there will be something that will happen that you'll need insight, you will need advice, you will need some measure of input. When building the last church, I was familiar with digging footings, what it means to hog them out and then lay the cinder block in there. But we had dug footings, and in the left rear corner of the footings, the building inspector was just not satisfied with the solidness of those footings in that very back corner. And he said, we may need to do some caissons. I had never heard that term. I didn't know what that term meant. I said, what is a caisson? He said, well, where you've dug the footing, we'll come along in there and we'll take an 8-inch auger bit and we will aug down in that footing to the ground another 10 feet and then we'll pour concrete in that. So at the end of the day, you have a 10-foot column below the footing supporting the footing, and we'll put four or five of them 5, 8, 10 feet apart, and that'll get you the support I feel like you need in the corner of that building relative to its footing. Now I understand what a caisson is. I know what you have to do that. Looking for the foundation to be utterly solid and not have a problem, because if the foundation sinks, settles, moves, now you've got structural problems. You got roof problems. You just compounds everything. This is why the church is a body, but who's the head of the body? Christ. Christ. He is the head. Everything exists. Everything consists because of him. It is God in his omnipresence that holds everything together in the cosmos. Nobody's watching and adjusting the rotation of the earth and its axis. God set it into motion. God established it, and it's been running for 6,000 years. And nobody's been able to come along and tinker with it, per se. Now, they claim if there were enough nuclear explosions on the earth, it could affect the axis, the rotation of the earth. But my point is, God set it into motion, and no man is setting by thinking he's going to adjust or change the rotation, the axis, the tilt, whatever the case might be. God has done that, and God is not nervous about how it's running. And If he wants to slow it down, he can slow it down. He did it with Joshua. And Joshua said, don't let the sun go down on me. There was an 8-hour extension of sunlight that day. 8 hours. And if I remember correctly, in Mexico, the Aztec Indians have historically recorded there was a day when they had, or a night when they had 8 more hours of darkness. Only makes sense to me. It stays 8 hours more sunlight over there in the Middle East. It'd be 8 hours of darkness over here on this side of the world. But God did that. He can do anything. And this is why you want Christ to be the Lord of your life. I'm telling you, we don't value prayer. We don't value the scriptures like we should value them. You don't read the Bible like a newspaper. I know we don't have newspapers anymore. But that's not how you read the Bible. That's not how you read the scriptures. You meditate on them. You know, you can read 3 or 4 words in a verse of scripture and gather immeasurable revelation. Just wow. Wow, can you believe that is there? That's why I look at the Bible. Think of all the sermons that have been preached by all the men, and you still can't exhaust it relative to preaching material. You because there's so much revelation in the scriptures. Millions and millions of men have preached billions and maybe trillions of sermons. I don't know, but there are fundamentally two are not alike. Because that's the magnificence of the revelation in the scriptures and how you get unctionized in the Holy Ghost of God and you see things in the scriptures that the natural man just did not see. He did not get a witness on that. But you saw things that you knew were beyond your mentation, your mentality. You knew it when you read it. You said, oh, that's not me. That's the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, I'm not that smart. Now, that's what you call revelation. That's what you call comprehension. That's all of a sudden you get the wisdom to understand Bible prophecy. You know, there when you start studying the 10 horns, the 7 crowns, the 7 heads, then the 10 crowns, deciphering the difference there in Revelation 12 and Revelation 13, and in the book of Daniel, it takes God to open up our minds. Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. God can open up our mind. But that can't happen unless you submit your mind and your life to Christ that you might ascertain or have the mind of God. Remember Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus sought the mind and the will of the Father. That was his heart. That was his desire. He wanted to know the Father's will. He wanted to know what God wanted him to speak, to say, to do, etc., etc., etc. He was what you call a vessel that was wholly, completely, entirely submitted unto the Father. Thus he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. All men have a will. You know you shouldn't eat that little Debbie cake, but you eat it anyway. And it was so good, you said, I'll have another one. And you might say, I'll have another one. That's not good for the body. My point is, wisdom comes in and says, okay, stop there. Don't do this. Don't go there. Pray about this. Before you make this decision, pray and ask God to give you the proper insight, the proper revelation, the proper understanding. Why? To save your life, your heart from injury, from being harmed, or whatever the case might be. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your steps, your path. He will show you which way to go. Man, I pray every day, show me the way. Proverbs 27, I believe it's 10 or 11, make the path plain. I'm a country boy, Lord. Make the path plain. Make it where I can see it. Draw the lines on the road. Make the path plain. A plain path, a simple path, one that I can understand. Maybe someone else already understands it, but I don't, so make it where I can understand it. See? If we would spend more time in the presence of the Lord, God could make more spiritual adjustments in our lives. We all need spiritual adjustment. People will say, I need to go to the chiropractor to get my back adjusted. Let God make the adjustments in your life. He will help you with these adjustments. God wants you to be blessed. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You cannot have that abundant life unless you allow Christ the opportunity to work in your life, to order your steps. See, David said, order my steps in thy word. God can do things for you that no one can do. God can accomplish things that you could never accomplish. He can do in a day what you couldn't do in 1,000 years. Why? How's that? He's God. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God is the God of all flesh, whether it's a cow, a bull, a chicken, a goat, whatever. He's the God of our flesh. We were created in his image and in his likeness. Let God have preeminence in your life. I promise you, if you'll let God have preeminence in your life will be more peaceful, more placid, more fluid, less tumultuous, less tempestuous. But remember, he's the Prince of Peace. So if he's fluid in your life, you should have more peace as well. God bless you. Have a great remainder of the week. We'll pick up next week in verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.